Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Inflation for February. Today, the Bureau of Labor Statistics released the inflation report for the month of February. It's not so much that I'm concerned with these numbers per se. Obviously, directionally, I want to pay attention to them. Positive, negative, neutral, that type of thing. But really the reason why we're going to have this discussion, and I'm going to read some of the report that was published today, just to set a benchmark for us moving forward. And that's because we are 1 year into this, these lockdowns, these restrictions, the Nobody Cares Act 1.0, 2.0, and now the passage of 3.0, the $1.4 trillion spending bill last year just to keep the lights on for the first quarter of this year, which is coming to an end in a few short weeks here. And just to have a gauge, okay, 1 year into it, February, prior to the $1.9 trillion piece of crap that was passed. So this is a good benchmark. This is a good place to stop so we can go back to this, perhaps, if we remember, and all the minutiae and all the other garbage that's going to be coming down the pike. But at least we're on record. We went through it. Here's where it is. So we'll get to that here momentarily. But as I just stated, the House passed the $1.9 trillion monstrosity. President Biden is expected to sign it on Friday. But before he does, unless something changed, last I heard, is President Biden is supposed to give a little speech tomorrow about the next phase of the COVID recovery. I've been saying this for months, that these people are just getting started. $1.9 trillion isn't enough. Stand alone, the ninth largest economy on the planet. $1.9 trillion. If that was a country's GDP, it would be the ninth largest on the planet. It's not enough. It is never enough. So what is going to come out of his mouth? Of course, he's going to be reading from a teleprompter, but nonetheless, what is he going to say? Is he going to say, well, the next phase is infrastructure? Is it we have to increase the pay for teachers and nurses and doctors and all these other frontline workers? What's going to come out of this guy's mouth? Another attempt to increase the minimum wage, which thank goodness failed, because it was something that could not be passed through budget reconciliation. Thank God our Constitution still has some legs and muscle, and the rules that govern the Senate are still being listened to. Thank goodness. And just to stay on this for a quick minute, the minimum wage going up to $15 an hour. Of course, this was obviously amended to then only apply to federal workers. And then this was something that would be phased in over the years. Well, gee, I wonder why that was the case. Because all of these people know, even the most liberal amongst them, they know that this is going to lead to job losses. Period, end of story. Congressional Budget Office coming out and saying 1.4 million jobs will be lost as a result of an increase of the minimum wage to $15. There should not even be a minimum wage. We've been through that before. But this is just how crazy everything is. They show you who they are once they get put into a corner. 1.4 million jobs are going to be lost. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, let's back off of this a little bit. Blah, 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 blah. Not good. Not good at all. And of course, for some more perspective, $1.9 trillion, if you divide that by about 330 million Americans, would have been a check to each and every American, man, woman, child, regardless of your income or your wealth, would be about $5,800, a $5,800 check per American. Now, if you did some sort of means testing, which they did a little bit more here, although they still didn't go far enough, because there's still going to be a significant amount of Americans who are going to be getting these $1,400 checks who don't need them, who simply don't need them. But that's a huge number, $5,800 per American. If they just said, well, that's all we're going to do, we're just going to cut checks to everybody. If you means tested it, it would be even more. That's children too. Now, of course, these kids aren't going to see these checks. Mom and dad are going to spend the money on booze and cigarettes and weed. We know that's what's going to happen. So the kids are never going to see any of it. But nonetheless, $5,800, They say, no, let's do it $1,400, and then we'll say we need to give more money for COVID stuff. We're going to give money to states and localities and cities because of all of the damage that was that occurred because of these lockdowns and restrictions. I mean, no responsibility for anything. And I think I saw $650 million is going to the city of San Francisco. Now, whose district is that? That's right. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Boy, don't these people just love spending everybody else's money. And we're going to find out what Sleepy Joe has to say tomorrow. Because more's coming. One way or another. More spending is coming. Money that we simply do not have. Going to borrow it and print it into existence. So I just wanted to mention that before we get to some of the market performance in the inflation report. Market performance, we have the dollar index at 91.80. 91.80 right now, not a whole bunch of movement overnight. Bitcoin is at $55,500 a coin. Overnight futures trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 0.4%, as is the S&P 500. NASDAQ 100 is up 0.2%. Japanese cash trade gaining 0.5%. Pretty much a sea of green across the pond in Europe. The UK exchange, however, was flat. Biggest gainer was the French markets, putting on a gain of 1.1%. Australian cash trade is flat. Chinese stocks are rallying strongly, gaining 2.2%. This is off of the back of stronger than expected bank lending. At least that's part of the narrative. Again, folks, as I said yesterday and many times before, the main narrative that you have to pay attention to, the real one, is liquidity. Not how are talks going between the Chinese and the Americans. Not are people rotating out of tech and growth into value, industrials, blah, 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 blah. Not is it the $1.9 trillion spending bill, is it going to get passed? This is all garbage. What you really have to pay attention to is the liquidity. What are central bankers doing behind the scenes? Money supply going up, their balance sheets expanding. That's pretty much all you have to pay attention to. And if that's the case, then equities are likely going to keep going up until something breaks. And that's the big question. When will that happen? To me, it's a certainty that it will. It's just a question of when. And when it does, that's it. It's game over. There's nothing they can do at that point. Market forces are simply going to take over. And anything that federal governments and central bankers attempt to do is just going to make it that much worse, which is already the case. But then they would really just be piling on to the avalanche. Okay. Share price front, we have Apple giving back about 1% for the day. Tesla giving back 0.8%. Boy, we haven't said something like that in a long time. Usually it's 8% up or down. This is 0.8%, trading at $668 a share. Microsoft giving back about 0.6%. Amazon also in the red, down 0.2%. Facebook giving back 0.3%. Biggest gainers today that I'm looking at here are in the financials, with Visa giving a gain of 1.3%, J.P. Morgan putting on a gain of over 2%, and Goldman Sachs putting on a gain of 3.5% for the day. Commodities were also up. WTI at $65 a barrel, Brent $68.48, natural gas $2.83, gold and silver hanging on. Both up overnight right now. Gold at $1,732 an ounce. Silver, $26.23. And Uncle Sam's 10-year junk note is yielding 1.52%. So slightly weaker than where we were yesterday. Not too much. But this, of course, is off of the back of the Federal Reserve pulling some levers behind the scenes. And we'll hear from them next week at the conclusion of their FOMC meeting as to what they are going to target, if they're just going to continue with the narrative of playing it cool because they want to keep something a little bit more serious in their back pocket should they need to use it, which most likely they're going to have to, whether that's yield curve control, whether that's Operation Twist, or some other variation that they might come up with. Again, all narrative, all just stringing everybody along. Will the markets continue to buy it is the biggest question. Now on to the Consumer Price Index summary. CPI, inflation, again from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, same division that gives us the jobs report. So here it is for the month of February. And again, we're doing this just for the purpose of a benchmark, as I stated at the top of the podcast. The Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers, known as CPI-U, increased 0.4% in February on a seasonally adjusted basis after rising 0.3% in the month of January. Over the last 12 months, the All Items Index increased 1.7% before seasonal adjustment. The Gasoline Index continued to increase, rising 6.4% in February and accounting for over half of the seasonally adjusted increase in the All Items Index. The Electricity and Natural Gas Index has also increased, and the Energy Index rose 3.9% over the month. The Food Index rose 0.2% in February, with the index for food at home and the index for food away from home both increasing. The index for all items less food and energy rose 0.1% in the month of February. Now, the index for all items less food and energy, known as core inflation, that's something that the Federal Reserve likes to look at because it removes what people need to live, food and energy. Well, of course, it's going to make their number look better than what it is. They say, well, there is no inflation. There most definitely is. And I have a lot of problems with the way they calculate these numbers as it is, which, again, why I stated at the top of the podcast, I'm not so much concerned with these numbers, just the direction of them, because we know how bad things are out there. And not just in this country, but globally, that's why you have the protests, the riots, the coups, the revolutions. It's all connected, all of it. The index, like I said, for all items less food and energy rose 0.1% in February. The indexes for shelter, recreation, medical care, and motor vehicle insurance all increased over the month. The indexes for airline fares, used cars and trucks, and apparel all declined in February. But those of you who may have been paying attention to used cars and truck prices, they have been going ballistic over the past year. So this is a little bit of a decrease. The All Items Index rose 1.7% for the 12 months ending February, a larger increase than the 1.4% reported for the period ending in the month of January. The index for all items less food and energy rose 1.3% over the last 12 months, a smaller increase than the 1.4% rise for the 12 months ending January. The index rose 3.6% over the last 12 months, while the energy index increased 2.4% over that period. And then I'm just going to break things down a little bit further as in the report, just for food and energy. And if you're interested in the rest of it, just go to bls.gov. It'll be right there on their homepage. So this is for food. The food index increased 0.2% in February. The index for food at home rose 0.3% over the month as four of the six major grocery store food group indexes increased. The index for fruits and vegetables rose 0.7% in February as the index for fresh fruits increased by 1.8%, the largest increase in that index since March of 2014. The index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rose 0.3% in February, a smaller increase than the 0.5% increase in the prior month of January. The index for cereals and bakery products increased by 0.5% in February, while the index for other food at home increased 0.1% over the month. The index for dairy and related products declined 0.2% in February after falling 0.4% the previous month. The index for non-alcoholic beverages also decreased over the month, declining 0.1%. And the food away from home index rose 0.1% in February, continuing a long series of increases. Something we've talked about, once these restaurants and bars start opening up again, we anticipate higher prices there, which is simply going to be a continuation. The index for limited service meals rose 0.4%, while the index for full service meals increased 0.3%. So that was more some of the things for the month over month. Now we'll get to the 12 months ending for the past year. So the food at home index increased 3.5% over the past 12 months. All six major grocery store food groups indexes increased over that period, with increases ranging from 2.7% for both cereals and bakery products and dairy and related products to 5.2% for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs. The index for food away from home rose 3.7% over the last year, while the index for limited service meals rose 6.3%, the largest 12-month increase in the history of the index, which began in 1997. I'll repeat that. The index for limited service meals rose 6.3%, the largest 12-month increase in the history of the index, which began in 1997. But there's no inflation. There's nothing to see here, folks. It can be contained. The Fed has the tools. Treasury Secretary Dingbat Yellen says there's no inflation. If there is, it'll just be transitory. Woman couldn't hit water if she fell out of a boat. She didn't see the housing crisis. Not going to be another financial crisis in her lifetime. There's no inflation. Yes, let's believe these people. They lie for a living. They're supposed to regulate financial services. And they go and give speeches to financial service companies. And they get paid millions of dollars to do so. You solve that riddle. Not too difficult. Not too difficult at all. And as I said here, the index for full service meals rose 2.9% over the last 12 months. And then for energy, the energy index continued to rise in February, increasing by 3.9%. The index for gasoline was again the dominant factor in the increase, rising 6.4% over the month. Before seasonal adjustment, gasoline prices rose 6.9% in the month of February. The electricity index rose 0.7% in February, and the natural gas index increased by 1.6% over the month. The index for fuel oil also rose in February, increasing 9.9%. And of course, I'm sure a lot of that was off the back of colder weather. And the energy index rose 2.4% over the past 12 months. The gasoline index rose 1.5% over the last 12 months, while the index for electricity rose by 2.3%. And the index for natural gas increased 6.7% over the same period. However, in contrast, the fuel oil index fell 0.5% over the last 12 months. Okay, so that's somewhat of the bulk of the report. Again, if you're interested in it, I can put a link on thecapitalnews.com in my write-up after the podcast. But again, bls.gov, it'll be on the homepage. Nothing spectacular. I don't like, again, the way that they calculate these numbers. I don't like how it's a cop-out because, you know, the Federal Reserve doesn't calculate inflation, okay? And that's what they'll always tell you. They'll say, well, we're not the ones calculating. We're not the ones calculating. That goes to the Department of Labor with the Bureau of Labor Statistics. We're not calculating. That's what they say, and we're just going by that. And we don't like that people have to eat to stay alive and have to use energy to live. So we're going to strip those things out, and then we'll come up with that number, and whatever that is, we'll say that's what the inflation number is. And if we're happy with it, we'll use it. If we're not, we'll come up with an excuse as to why it's wrong or why it's something else. So just make it up. That's all. Just like they did with the unemployment numbers. That's all. Which is, again, why I continue to harp on this. Because they don't do this. Federal Reserve chairs don't come out and say, well, yes, I understand that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, has said that the official unemployment rate was 6.3%. Now it's 6.2. But nonetheless, that's not correct. It's actually closer to 10%. And then when we do an even deeper dive and we look at the initial jobless claims report, it's closer to 13%. But they don't do this. That's why I continue to call it out and remind the audience. Because they're just going to make the stuff up. They're already doing it. But now it's just completely in your face. It's like, yeah, that's the made-up number they gave us. But we don't even like that one. So we're just going to give you another one. We're just going to pull it out of thin air like all the money we're printing. And we're going to say, that's it. It's all about the narrative. It's all about confidence. Creating confidence in the system. That's it. That's it. And that's what con man stands for. You understand that? A confidence man. That's what it stands for. It's a con job. You just got to believe the story, man. Just buy into it and everything's going to be okay. But of course, there are laws to economics and finance. And the market will catch up to those laws, or the laws will catch up to the markets, however you want to look at it. And that's not going to be a pretty day. Not going to be a pretty day at all. That's why we continue to push for $1.9 trillion in spending. That's why we as a nation are going to spend $8 trillion this year. Most likely have a deficit of $4 trillion, maybe even higher. Because we got to wait to see what the idiot says tomorrow. How much more does he want to try to push through? It's just getting started. It's completely out of control. A lot of people are getting money that simply don't need it. But again, this is just a further bailout of the system. We have been in one constant, continual bailout since last year. All those checks, remember what I told you? It was sit down and shut up money. And that's all it continues to be. Sit down and shut up. Don't go into the streets and protest and riot. Don't call for revolutions. Don't do any of that stuff. Let's just print the money, sit down and shut up. You have debts, you become the middleman. Instead of the TARP funds of the great financial crisis and just bailing out the financial industry directly like last time, no, we're going to make the American people the middle guy this time so we can fool them into thinking that they're actually getting something. Meanwhile, all they're doing is getting a check and then writing another check to the financial institution that they owe money to. It's very easy to connect the dots and to see what's going on here. But they'll continue to do it until something breaks. And it still amazes me that this system continues to absorb this much garbage and waste. But as I say, inflation has a passport to get into any country, and we are exporting a lot of our inflation to other countries, and they are unfortunately paying the price for that too. I guess that's one of the good things you could say of, not really good, but something that gives us more time here because we are the world's largest economy, reserve currency, et cetera, et cetera. It buys us time. Doesn't mean we're doing the right thing because we are most definitely not. Should have allowed market forces to take over a few years ago, well before COVID-19, to sort all of this mess out. This is why we continue to have 20% of our corporations being classified as zombies. That in and of itself robs us of so much future growth and prosperity, that's insulting. But this is what you vote for. And that's why it's so important to vote, folks. You got to vote for these people because this is what they give you. Get your little sticker that says, I voted. This is what you voted for. 96-0, no votes for America. Don't ever forget it. But that's the inflation report for February. We'll keep that in our back pocket as we make our way through these crazy times. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I'm Alex Kritis. Godspeed.